tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, yeah. This is Shameless. We're back here for season 5, episode 6. This episode was called Crazy Love. I'm going to be your host, Joyce. I am unfortunately by myself today. My beautiful co-host couldn't make it tonight, but I will be here talking all things Shameless, episode 6. And you guys can reach me on Twitter after the show, until the next show, at Jay Ajuri. That's J-A-J-O-U-R-I. And since you're here watching this video, go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you already have and you like watching our Shameless podcast, please click that like button. It really gets the video out there. And it lets you kind of just share this video so that people can join us and talk about Shameless also. Because the more the merrier. We love talking to you guys on and off this podcast. So tweet us. And yeah, let's get started on this episode. Again, it's called Crazy Love. So many crazy things happened in this episode. I mean, the title says it all. This whole episode was kind of centered around the relationships that, you know, we've been dealing with for the past 5 seasons that have grown, that have fallen apart. And I want to start off with probably the biggest, most insane storyline of this episode, and it's Mickey's and Ian's story. We know that last episode, Ian was confronted by Mickey, who pretty much told him, like, you're sick, you need to get help, you need to go see the doctor, I'm going to take you to a hospital. And that's when Ian snapped, because as we know, Ian is suffering from bipolar disorder, which is what his mom, Monica, has. And he kind of, you know, it was something he wasn't understanding. It wasn't something he wanted to face. And finally, when the one person who he thought he was himself around finally saw him as himself, confronted him about it, and he couldn't take it. So he left, and he also took Svetlana's baby, Evgeny. And we see him this episode. We see Ian and Evgeny in the car. Ian's goal was to go to Florida and sort of spend his life there and get rid of all of his problems by going to Florida. So we know that Ian is going through this really manic high. And first of all, amazing performance by Cameron Monaghan. I mean, he is so fantastic. He plays the manic highs and the lows so well. And I think watching him on screen today gave me the most feels out of anyone. Him and Mickey today, just, I literally teared up. I literally cried. And, you know, this is how Ian is dealing with this. He doesn't really know how to, but when he, you know, gets into these manic highs, he just busts out and does something, you know, really irrational, like stealing a baby, for example. You know, things that really stuck out to me was Ian trying to take care of Evgeny. And, you know, he doesn't realize that what he's doing, like trying to change Yevgeny's diaper on the car hood, or trying to change him at the gas station counter after a woman buys him the pack of diapers, like he doesn't realize that this is not, you know, the normal thing to do. He's sort of not in this, you know, in the normal world when he's in these manic highs, which is his problem, which is what Mickey basically confronted him on. So seeing that on screen today, I felt so, like, my heart hurt for Ian. Because I'm watching him, I know what he's going through, but his character has no clue how to handle this situation. Sorry, this is a little strange doing this by myself, but I'm going to try my best. It's easier to feed off of, you know, different hosts and different people. So I'm going to try my best to make this as sensical as possible. So we've got Ian on the road, and, you know, no one seems to call the cops on Ian at the gas station when he's carrying a baby and can't pay for diapers and is trying to change it on the counter. But we see a woman finally call the cops on Ian when he leaves a baby in the car on a hot day to meet up with a guy who I'm assuming he's going to go take who's taking him away to sort of do sexual favors for and get paid for it. A woman sees Ian, you know, leave the baby in the car, and she knows it's a hot day, and obviously, nowadays, a lot of people do leave kids in hot cars and lock the doors. And this is a huge issue that the woman acted on and called the cops for. So Ian comes back while the cops are trying to break into the car to get the baby out, and he goes ballistic. He grabs the baby, accuses the cops of stealing the kid, which to me broke my heart. Like, this was Ian's rock bottom. This is his rock bottom. Everything that we've been seeing Ian, you know, do has come to this one moment where he has nowhere else to go. So he's literally cornered in a supermarket by the cops and screaming, "You're trying to steal my baby. Get away from me. Get away from me." Unfortunately, this is kind of a blessing for Ian, because the cops figure out who he lives with, and they obviously call his family, and his family finds out where he's at. Mickey finds out where he's at also. It's some place called Terre Haute. I'm not quite sure where that is. This is the moment Mickey realizes, okay, this is way more than I can handle. I didn't think it could get this bad. He even tells Carl, who happens to be the person to shed light onto the situation to Mickey. He lets him know, like, this is what I've experienced with my mom. This is how bad it could get. It could get so bad. Mickey had no clue. So, you know, another thing about Mickey this episode, he really shared his feelings. He really put his guard down, laid out his emotions. He is finally not afraid to be himself. And for everything that he did for Ian, coming out and, like, you know, trying so hard not to be afraid of his family, his father, who's, you know, totally against his lifestyle, to know that he's done all that and, like, come out and become so brave, just to come down to this situation, it must be so heartbreaking for Ian, because the only thing he wanted to do was to be with Ian. Mickey wanted to be with Ian, and he kind of can't at this point. I mean, he tried so hard to be with him, to deal with it, to handle it, to help him, and it just didn't work out today. And this is the moment that Mickey realized, it's not going to be the way that I imagined. I mean, it's not going to be this wonderful relationship that I thought I was going to have. But despite all that, you know, he's calling Ian 200 times, apparently. And Mickey leaves a heartfelt message. First, he says, you know, "Where the fuck are you? This is the 200th time I've called you. Call me back. What the hell is going on?" And then at the end, he says, "I miss you. I love you." And you can see the torture in his face when he says that, because I feel like, despite the fact that he's come out, despite the fact that his relationship with Ian is more out in the open, it's still so hard for him to sort of say those words. I mean, his feelings are there, his actions are there, but to say those words and to really express them verbally is still so hard. And just seeing those two act out their scenes was incredible. I seriously cried. And then when they were finally admitting Ian into psychiatric care, just seeing them hug it out and seeing them one last time look at each other, I lost it. I totally lost it. It's so heartbreaking, because they were so close to having a good relationship together, a good time, something normal, something good, something honest. And, you know, it just led up to this moment. Another thing that really stood out to me was the drive back from getting Ian, when Ian was passed out on Mickey's shoulder and Mickey was voicing to Lip how we need to put him in the hospital, whether he wants to or not, he needs help. You can understand that Mickey kind of felt like he failed Ian. Again, he wanted to take care of him. He wanted to help him. And again, this was so much more than he can handle. So to really feel like, you know, he failed, and to kind of admit it to Lip must have been so difficult for him. And again, like, you could just see the torture in his eyes. And awesome job by Noel Fisher, who's an amazing actor all around. But as Mickey in this moment, it was so clear. He was so perfect, so spot on. And I love how Ian came to comfort him and to just tell him, like, "Look, you tried. I know you tried. I saw that you tried. We all know you tried to help him. And probably at the end of all this, Ian will understand that you did too." You know, despite Mickey telling Ian not to do things like go to the airport every day to get luggage, unclaimed luggage to sell the goods and stuff, that was just him trying to help Ian. it didn't work out that way. But Mickey kind of got what he wanted, which was Ian to get help, which is perfect. I mean, hopefully it can only get better from here, although the previews for Ian in the psychiatric ward doesn't really seem to be a positive experience at that moment. We could talk about that later. But I don't know. Just, again, Mickey and Ian this episode really tugged on my heartstrings. And one last note. Mickey, for the first time, I noticed he was so respectful to authority. You know, seeing the cops when they were to go pick up Ian, he was so calm. I mean, granted, he wasn't in a situation where he was threatened or he was in trouble, but he didn't have an ounce of resentment towards anybody, towards any of the cops, towards any of the authority. He was just super respectful, super calm, just wanted to hear about Ian. And then when the other cop came to give him Yevgeny, that was the first time I've ever seen him affectionate towards the kid, towards the baby. And to see him hold him and kiss the baby was so different from Mickey in my eyes. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to see. I think it was a real turning point for Mickey in this episode. And it was really sobering for him to step back and be like, this is huge. This is not just Ian lashing out or being depressed. This is a whole other beast that he can't deal with. So I loved that about Mickey this episode. He was very sober. Very sobering moments happened to him. And you really saw the love come out for Ian. So really awesome. Speaking of love, we've heard the word I love you like, I don't know, we've heard the words I love you like 50 times this episode. It's crazy. Not just from Mickey to Ian, but from Jimmy Steve to Fiona. I'm just going to call him Jimmy because that's what she called him all episode. We know that Jimmy came back last episode. And today, oh my gosh. I didn't think it would be so easy for him to get back into Fiona's pants, but it happened. It happened so quickly, so fast, so easily. All he had to do was sort of whisper in her ear over and over again that he loves her. She kind of fought a little bit, just a little bit. And then we found out that, you know, he was in some crazy hostage situation in Brazil, handcuffed on a boat, in a basement of a boat or something. He got, I think, malaria. I'm not quite sure what to make of that situation. Obviously, it has something to do with what he was dealing with last season, with the girl that he had to pretend he was married to for a while, the Brazilian girl. So we know that he was gone for a very long time in a very shitty situation, and Fiona's just like, don't feed me that BS. And he even asks her, you know, do you love Gus? Because obviously he knows she got married all of a sudden out of nowhere. And she's like, you're not allowed to ask me that. And poor girl. I mean, every single time she finds a normal like guy to be with or a normal relationship, something goes wrong. Whether it's her boyfriend's crazy addicted brother who she ends up hooking up with and cheating on him with, or whether it's being married to Gus and all of a sudden Jimmy Steve shows up. I mean, how inconvenient for her, inconvenient for the guys to step in and to sort of ruin things. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. At first I was like, come on, Fiona, like, you can't, like, you gotta pick your battles, like, choose one thing, choose another. And then, you know, towards the end of the episode when she was having sex with Jimmy on her kitchen floor, she was bawling. I mean, I felt Fiona's pain in that moment because out of all this, like, despite the fact that she really, truly, deeply still loves Jimmy Steve or Jimmy, you know, she knows this is not good for her. This whole situation, this whole love triangle, which, by the way, isn't quite a triangle yet because Gus and Jimmy haven't met, which I thought they were going to this episode, but they're probably saving that for another time, that altercation for another time. That's going to be interesting. I was kind of hoping we'd see a little bit of drama in that department, but I kind of want to wait it out now and see how it's going to blow up later. But I don't know. I kind of wanted to pose the question, do you guys believe Jimmy? Do you believe Jimmy really truly loves her? Because we find out that Angela, who's kind of been his partner in crime this whole time, she's the one that's been going into the diner and getting the scoop on Fiona and finding out things about her, giving her money. We know that she told Fiona that he needs to leave town So she needs to make a decision about him. Is he going to stay or is he going to go? Basically, Fiona, are you going to take him back or are you going to reject him now? And Fiona doesn't understand why, because she doesn't have the backstory. But we know that if he doesn't stay, he's got to go to Dubai. Who knows what is there for him in Dubai? And if he stays, obviously, I think he'll probably be okay. Maybe he'll be watched for a little bit for whatever reason. But he'll be able to stay here and be with Fiona. But Fiona has no idea what she's going to do, despite the fact that they still shared some intimate moments tonight. I don't think she really wants him to stay, and she's not quite sure what she wants at this point. So I'm kind of worried about Jimmy. I don't know if he loves her, if he's saying he loves her so that he could stay and not go to Dubai for whatever reason, or if he truly does still care about Fiona. It's hard for me to believe him, but I do believe that Fiona still cares about him after all of this time. He's the one that got away from her, and he's the one that keeps pulling her back into this lifestyle that she's trying to kind of get out of, but that she's always been told over and over again that she's addicted to. So there we have it with Fiona. She cheated on Gus. They're married, although their relationship kind of seems, you know, really distant. Obviously, Fiona's going through some shit between Ian and between Jimmy coming back. She can't seem to sort of balance everything and you know, choose to do one thing and not the other. So she's struggling, and their marriage is kind of already struggling. But I don't think Gus is so concerned about it. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on with Fiona and Jimmy. But, you know, like he said in the episode where they got married, where it was like, if it's a mistake, it's a mistake, you know. So I don't think he's too stressed about, you know, them sort of spending some time apart from each other, even though they're newlyweds. But wait till he finds out why Fiona's been a little distant. I'm actually looking forward to that next episode, whether she'll tell Gus about Jimmy or not. I also want to know if you guys think that she is going to tell Gus exactly what's happening. I know in the previews for the next episode, she sits down and says she needs to talk to Gus. She needs to talk to him. And they cut it off right there. So my guess is she's not going to tell him, and she's going to say something like, oh, I love you, which is something she hasn't said before, I don't think. I could be wrong. I'm totally blanking here. But it could go either way. That's probably in the predictions realm, but there you go. That's my answer. I don't think she's going to tell him right away, but let me know what you guys think. If you think she's going to tell Gus, if you think she's not going to tell Gus, why or why not, let me know in the comments below, and I will take a look at those. Also, if she does tell Gus the truth, how do you think he's going to react? I'm so curious, because he seems like he could go either way. Again, he still thinks, you know, this marriage is a good thing, but if it was a mistake, it was a mistake. So it's pretty crazy. So I love you from Jimmy like 100 times, really got to Fiona, but towards the end, I think she just slowly realized that this is not how things need to be. That's it with Fiona and Jimmy and Gus. I wanted to move on to Frank and Sammy. Now, Frank, we know, has a new liver. He got a liver transplant last season, and it's been doing pretty well for him so far. I mean, he's been taking his meds as long as Sammy is urging him to take them, he's taking them. But ever since she found out that he blew all of his lawsuit money, and didn't get her the trailer and the home that she needed, she's like, screw it. You're not going to help me, Dad. I'm not going to help you. So she stopped telling him when to take his meds. She stopped telling him what to take. So he's just not taking them. And we know that he's still doing drugs and drinking alcohol. So he's kind of not helping himself in the least. So this episode, we see him clenching his side where his liver is. He's got jaundice, and Sammy immediately says, your body's rejecting your liver. So he's in pain. He's not doing so well, but he's blaming it on Sammy because Sammy's not telling him about his meds. In the meantime, Sammy is acting like the older sibling that she probably always, you know, never was part of that family. So she's finally acting as the older sibling, the older sister, and making breakfast for the kids, giving Deb's advice about her first day of high school, which is the next day we see her go to high school in this episode. And she's kind of taking on the role that Fiona did when she was home all the time, when Fiona lived in the house and wasn't between homes, between Gus and the house and the drama. So I kind of liked Sammy in this episode. I liked her for the first time in a long time this season. She didn't really bug me as much because I understood where she was coming from completely. You know, I understood that she's angry at Frank. Like, it was no longer the weird, why are you trying so hard to really hang on to this father figure that's not really a great father to you? And now she's finally realizing it. So I understand where she's coming from more now, which made me really like her in this episode. She was really stepping up and really being responsible. I mean, I have to say, Frank is still her dad, and she was being a little cold-hearted, but I can't blame her for it. I can't blame her for telling everyone not to help Frank. He's not helping himself. I mean, he doesn't show any sign of a desire to help himself heal, to help his body heal. Excuse me. But after that whole ordeal of him falling off the couch, grasping his side in pain, and Sammy telling all the kids not to help Frank, he makes his way over to the phone, and obviously we assume he dials 911, and he wakes up in the hospital, and he's on lots of pain meds, and he's going to be given a new dose of medicine, and the doctor really lays it on to him. The doctor that's tending to him really says, you know, you got a new liver. You don't have any more second chances. Like, this is it. No one is giving you a new liver. So that moment and that look that William H. Macy gave as Frank, sort of realizing like, oh shit, like I don't have any more second chances, because in Frank's life, excuse me, he's always had more chances. He has had a second chance to live. He's had so many chances into the kids' hearts. You know, like Carl and Debs, like they always had a special place for Frank, and he always had second chances with them. He always found a way to survive. And I think when the doctor said, you're not getting a new liver, like you have no more chances, I think that's when it really hit him to me. And that's why we see him at the end of the episode come in, you know, all upbeat, or I think it was in the previews, all upbeat giving the kids balloons, and everyone's like, what the hell? At least I hope that's what it is. I hope that the doctor really put it through his brain that you need to take care of yourself. You're a 51-year-old man, you can take your own meds, do it for yourself, because no one's giving you a new freaking liver. So that's what I got from Frank this episode. He didn't have too much screen time today, but, you know, he's still really poignant scenes, and we'll see next episode if he becomes really the father figure that everyone sort of wanted him to be. But it'll be very strange, so we'll see how everyone takes it. Speaking of father figures, Kev, we know Kevin V and their relationship with, you know, the two of them and their kids, it's kind of been struggling a little bit. In this episode, we know that V announces that her and Kev are splitting up. She tells Fiona this. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. They were my favorite couple, aside from Mickey and Ian, on the show, because they had it so together, the two of them. They were real with each other. They loved each other. They understood each other. And this is finally the season where they're not on the same page at all. They're at a crossroads. We know that V is struggling with being the maternal figure that, you know, maybe she feels like she's failing at being. And Kev isn't understanding why. And he's more present with the children. He's taking care of them. He's tending to their needs. And we know that V misses her husband. She misses the old life they had. She misses the sex. And like she tells Fiona, it's like aliens abducted him and put a new person in Kev's body who looks like Kev, who talks like Kev, but certainly isn't Kevin, because he has no sex drive. He won't even, you know, get intimate with V, which really bothers her. Unfortunately, they're not really coming at a compromise. They're not figuring out what to do to help each other out and to make this work. So they're separating, unfortunately. We know that Kev is, he doesn't really have an outlet other than V. I mean, he would tell V everything, and now he doesn't have V to sort of talk to and confide in. So he confides in Julie, who's the woman that gave him a hand job after V told him to go cheat on her because she cheated on him with the guy in the club. So Kev is confiding in Julie, who wants nothing to do with his problems. We can clearly see she's annoyed, and she was like, that hand job was for one time, you know, but Kev needs someone who's sort of in the position, not the same position as him, but someone who's as attentive with kids as he is. And he can't talk to V about the kids' growth and development and, you know, what each kid does, like, every single day, what's new. Like, he can't talk to V about that because she's not having any of it. She's not interested. That emotion and that feeling is not coming to her naturally. And, you know, that's really bothering her. So he's talking to Julie, who has kids and who probably, you know, is the opposite of V at this point. But again, she's not relating to Kev on any level that he wants to be on. So poor guy is sort of stuck in the middle. It doesn't have anyone to talk to or to be with. And same with V. I mean, she couldn't really talk to Fiona today because she had to go to work and make money and keep money flowing into the household. So it's tough for both of them. And I'm really sad that they're separating, but hopefully the separation will be something that puts their relationship on the show into perspective. I mean, this is probably the thing they need to find a way to make it actually work. So I'm excited to see how the show is going to progress with their story and, you know, what they're going to do to actually resolve their issues. Because I love them, and if they break up, I'm quitting the show. That's not true, but we'll see. That's all I've got for Kevin V. We've got a little bit of Debs, and then we can move on to Lip. But we know that Debs is on her first day, is going to her first day of high school in this episode. And we know for a while she's been taking boxing classes, and she kicked her friend's butts on the steps last episode because Carl put it on video. He bet on his sister and made some money that she was going to kick Holly and Ellie's asses, and she did. So she shows up on her first day of high school, and she's immediately known as Deathly Debbie. And it seems like she's sort of this YouTube sensation. Like, everyone already knows that Debbie can kick ass. Like, she can fight, she can beat people up, but little does she know that high school is full of people who would confront her and who probably can kick her butt. So she doesn't really know that yet. I mean, she's just sort of getting people coming up to her calling her Deathly Debbie. And we have one girl, her last name is Gabowski, who's asking her, like, you think you could beat me up? You think you can bring me down? So I think she's going to be a contender, but become Debbie's friend, her first friend in high school, aside from the guy at the gym. So that'll be really cool. I'm excited to see how she grows in high school and see the new friends she's going to make and see what kind of trouble she gets into, because let's face it, she's a Gallagher and chaos follows Gallaghers everywhere. And I wonder if she's going to follow, Sammy's advice on, you know, not using the girls' restroom without walking in with a pack of cigarettes, which is really funny. And Lip, we know, he went back to school early because he couldn't take being in Southside Chicago. I think he's just had enough. So he's finally back at school shortly before, or, you know, not too far away from the start date of the first day of the new semester. And he's an RA. He's pretty much a resident assistant in charge of the floor that he's living on. He gets free room and board, and he gets a stipend, so he's getting some money and doesn't really need to. It's a good way for him to not get in trouble and to give himself some sort of responsibility, give him something to be accountable for. And we see Amanda in this episode too, who I think she's hilarious. She has a new Craigslist roommate at a house. She's staying at a separate house off of campus, and her roommate goes by the name Muff Bulldagger, which is hilarious. And we meet Muff Bulldagger later on in the episode, and we find out that she's kind of into Amanda. Like, it seems like she's attracted to Amanda, has some sort of crush on her. And the way she looked at Lip just made me feel like, you better stay away from Amanda. Don't come to our house. You know, who knows what's going to happen when the three of them get together. I don't know. But yeah, so Lip is staying at the dorm still. Amanda offered for him to stay at her house while she's going to school, but he declined. He's getting some money, which is good. So he's being responsible. He's doing stuff to keep himself busy at school and to sort of keep his mind off of things. But unfortunately, a lot of drama happened this episode that forced him to come back home. You know, like the good brother he is, he takes care of his family. And he basically rallied the troops together for everyone to go get Ian at the end of the episode. So he's great. He was great this episode. Really nice to see him get everyone together and just figure out what to do with Ian and solve things. Oh, before I forget, I forgot to say that everyone this episode found out that Fiona's married. It was brought out, I forgot who brought it out. I think it was Jimmy. I don't remember, but they basically let the cat out of the bag and everyone found out. Debs, Sammy, who, by the way, is very enthralled with Fiona's love life right now. But she's kind of snarky about it this episode. So yeah, cat's out of the bag. Everyone knows Fiona's married. And that's that. Lastly, we have Carl, who hasn't really had much to do in this episode. But we do know that he really, like I said earlier, shed some light on, you know, what he witnessed as a kid growing up with his mom's bipolar disorder. He basically told Mickey, like, it gets so bad to the point where my mom thought she was a bird and she was going to jump off the roof. Luckily, she didn't. So the firemen came and brought her down. So that's just the scope of things that Mickey has to deal with and that, you know, growing up, the Gallaghers had to deal with Monica. So that was definitely an eye-opener. And one scene that was really funny, one of the funny scenes in this episode was Carl having sort of an encounter with an officer dog, one of those canines in the car, obviously a drug dog. And we know that Carl's been slinging drugs. And he didn't want to get out of the car when they went to go get Ian because he had a pound of marijuana on him just about. So he stayed in the car to play it safe, didn't want to get hounded by the dog. So that's that. Carl seems to be a pretty good conveyor of information for Mickey, and he's clearly not naive in situations like this. He knows what's up. All right, that's pretty much all I have for all of our characters today. If I missed anything, please leave in the comments below. Leave me your thoughts on this episode. I'd really love to hear it. Since my co-hosts aren't here, I like to have a conversation with you guys in the comment section, so let me know. And with that, let's move on to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. I kind of said them earlier because I couldn't get a hold of myself. But I don't think Fiona is going to tell Gus right away that she basically cheated on her with Jimmy and who Jimmy is and what Jimmy meant to her in her life. If she does tell him, I'm going to be very surprised because I feel like part of her wants to keep Jimmy close to her. I mean, like I said before, I think she's still very much in love with Jimmy. He's the one that just sort of got away. And, you know, she never sort of had closure with their relationship and with him. He just sort of left and she still cares about him. So I feel like part of her is going to keep it a secret for a little while longer so that their little affair can go on a little bit longer. But we find out in the next episode that he has to go to Dubai like the next day and he's asking Fiona to come with him. So I don't know. I don't think she's going to say yes to Jimmy, though. I think she's going to be in this weird limbo, this weird situation that she can't get out of. Because he asked her once before to go with him to South America, I believe, back in season one or two. And she declined, and I think she'll decline again next episode. And with Frank, I feel like he's going to shape up, sort of like Sammy shaped up in this episode. He's going to shape up as a dad. But as we see, Sammy's not going to take it very well. And we hear a gunshot in the previews, but we don't know who that's for. So we'll find out next episode. But yeah, that's all I have for tonight for the Shameless Season 5, Episode 6 podcast. Thank you so much for watching. If you guys watched all the way through, I'm so happy you did. And please give us a thumbs up here on AfterBuzz TV. If you haven't already, click subscribe because that way you'll get updates on all of the AfterBuzz after shows that we do here. We do so many shows. And I'm your host. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at JAJOURI. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.